Usually it's the inspectors general who accuse others of wrongdoing, whether it's spending too much money here, treating people unfairly there. But rarely is the behavior of the IGs themselves questioned. So it's notable that now Commerce Department Inspector General Todd Zinsser is fighting for his job. A Democratic lawmaker, Texas Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson, has called on the Obama administration to fire Zinsser. Bernice Johnson says she has ample evidence of misconduct and mismanagement. In this week's Legal Loop, Lynn Burnabe, a partner at the law firm Burnabe & Watchell, joins us to talk about Zinsser's situation. Burnabe is a lawyer who often represents federal whistleblowers. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
So, first of all, how rare is it, actually, that Congress takes notes of how IGs themselves comport themselves?
And this is really an ad hoc process. In fact, Congress doesn't have any explicit authority other than to bring to light the Inspector General, bad behavior or retaliation against whistleblowers, as they've done in this case. But they really have no effective power. The IGs are presidential appointees, and only the president can do anything about them.
All right. So that's why Bernice Johnson is then urging the Obama administration to pay attention. Can you just briefly recap for us some of the allegations that stood out to you that she makes about Mr. Zinsser?
Yeah, I mean, some of them are not even allegations. He apparently at his at Commerce has hired a woman he has a personal relationship with and who's under his supervision, which is it seems to me like a per se violation of the merit system principles. He's also at his old agency, was under investigation for retaliating against whistleblowers. And in his new agency, two of his deputies, tried to tie down two, alleged whistleblowers to, non-disclosure agreements, that they couldn't report on the problems in the IG office once they left, and in return they would get good performance appraisals.
Hmm. And we should say the old agency being the transportation department.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what are the checks and balances on an IG?
There's basically none. There is a Council of Inspector Generals for Integrity and Efficiency, but really they're pretty ineffective. It's made up of other IGs. It's a very small group of people, around, I think, 72, 73 IGs. And what they can really do is investigate if they have the political will to do so and make recommendations. But ultimately, it's only the president that can remove an IG or discipline him.
And in practice, how effective or how aggressive has the council been in policing its own?
Not at all. Occasionally you hear about some investigation of an IG, and in most cases the person leaves before there's any public report. There's really, I think in Homeland Security we had a situation and the person was sort of forced out by the bad publicity.
But he was the acting, and I think you're thinking of Charles Edwards, he was the acting Inspector General of DHS,
yes.
Not the Senate-confirmed one. Here, Zinsser is Senate-confirmed.
Right. The way these things usually play out is like the same as for high officials at other agencies. If Congress really starts to do oversight about, you know, things they think are wrong at an agency, including with an IG, they have hearings, they, sort of embarrass the IG, and then they ask the president to do something about it. And that, I think that's sort of what's happening in this case.
Yeah, we should say, it's quite notable that Representative Bernice Johnson, she has inserted into the congressional record, the record of the day of March 26, about 9 pages of really small type accusations and detailing her investigation of Mr. Zinsser. So she's basically laying out her case in the congressional record for all to say. I mean, what does Zinsser do now? Is it just business as usual on his part, or are there restrictions on how aggressive he can be as perhaps as an IG?
Well, I think the problem with it, and it's not just Zinsser, it's many of the IGs, they've become sort of beholden to the agency. In the case of the Veterans Administration, the IG office was accused by a whistleblower of turning over allegations that the whistleblower made about, lying about the number of veterans dying because they were on these wait lists that were never, really push forward. And the IG got allegations like this and turned it over to the agency, which of course buried it. So, you know, I think the only way that anyone, you know, Congress included, sees of getting these people out and getting better people in is to bring to light what they've done. And, you know, a lot of these personnel decisions may seem minor to outsiders, like, okay, it was one staffer he hired who was, you know, he was having a relationship with. It was, you know, a couple of people who raised allegations against him. But in total, it's those kind of things are really important for an IG because they're supposed to hold up the integrity of the agency. They're supposed to do investigations when ethical issues are raised. So if they themselves are sort of ethically challenged in these ways, or at least alleged to be, it creates a big block in the system.
We're speaking with Lynn Burnaby, a partner at the law firm Burnaby & Watchell. Now, we were talking a few minutes ago about the allegations against the acting DHS Inspector General at the time, Charles Edwards. That was basically resolved when the president appointed or nominated and the Senate confirmed someone else for that job, John Roth, who has it now, and he's the official IG, the permanent IG. How do you see this situation with Commerce playing out?
I think there's so many allegations, and not at just one agency, but at the prior agency where he was a lower level in the IG's office. I think the president is going to have to tell him to resign. I mean, I think that's how this is going to play out. Even though IGs are supposed to be different, they're supposed to be independent and really not involved in politics, it's very much the same process. If Congress really wants somebody to go, they'll put pressure on the administration to have them go, because ultimately he's a very bad reflection on the Obama administration, that he chose this person to investigate and sort of enforce integrity at the Commerce Department, and he's doing all kinds of things that, allegedly doing all kinds of things that reflect very badly on the agency.
Yeah, although we should say, and you said it, but I'll repeat, these are all allegations. I mean, Zinsser mm-hmm. is not saying that he did any of this. He's not, he's defending mm-hmm. himself against it. But more broadly speaking, you've already talked about the Council of Inspectors General for Integrity and Efficiency being relatively weak when it comes to these things. If there is to be more accountability on IGs without sacrificing their ability to do their own aggressive investigations, where is that going to come from?
I think there's going to have to be new legislation. It's been a problem, and it's not just recent. It's been a problem for many, many years, I would say, in my knowledge, going back 20, 25 years, about IGs not being sufficiently independent of the agencies to which they're attached. And I think that needs to change. That really needs to be, I think that's going to only be done through legislation, that they can't pass on whistleblowers' identities and allegations back to the agency for retaliation. They can't go after whistleblowers, which is what's happening in a number of agencies, including what's alleged to happen at Commerce. So I think that's going to require legislation. The other thing, and this is sort of an interesting development after the lavish parties that GSA held in 2010 that got their IG in trouble, the Department of Labor Inspector General just came out with a report within the last 2 days about expensive entertainment or expensive events held by the Department of Labor. And that's because Congress passed a law that said any event, I think it's any event costing $100,000 or any conference $20,000 or more has to be reported. And I think as a result of that, the IGs were required to do something specific and report it to Congress. And I think that kind of sunshine is really important.
And we should say, just for clarification, the GSA scandal, I believe that you're speaking about with Las Vegas, actually it was the Inspector General himself who brought that to light. I'm not aware that the Inspector General was implicated in that at all.
That's true. I misspoke there.
Okay. Just wanted to say, but you know, on that note, I do want to say there was a development 5 years on now from the time of that conference. There was a development in that case, in that the person who at least has been blamed for this lavish Las Vegas conference has pleaded guilty to one of five charges that he was originally accused of. Jeff Neely has admitted that he filed false claims against GSA. And just as a lawyer who watches these things, I want to know your take on Jeff Neely's situation. Did he come off relatively well in the end or not?
You know, it's hard to say. We have to go back 5 years. I sort of doubt from what, you know, just a scuttlebutt I hear that he's the only one charging personal travel, personal hotels, personal events on the government dime. He's not the only person. But I do think that, in his words, the event in Las Vegas was so over the top that it really caught people's attention, and they said, look, you know, average Americans are suffering. We shouldn't have government officials holding these lavish parties in Las Vegas. So I think, you know, he's sort of a symbol. He's a prosecution of, okay, we're going to prosecute you, because he went beyond the party. He went and charged personal expenses to the government and admitted as such when he pled guilty. So I think it's sort of an example, at least the prosecution is, whether he gets a large sentence or not is going to be up to the judge, but I sort of doubt he'll get prison time. But I do think it's sort of a cautionary tale to other high officials to be thinking of charging what should be personal expenses to the government.
And just a question, I actually read the his plea, and it said that the adjusted offense level was 10. Mm-hmm. So I know that the maximum he could face is 5 years, but with an adjusted level of 10, what does that mean?
He probably won't get that much. I mean, I think it's really unlikely that a judge for a first offender would give, would give any time in prison, much less 5 years.
So he could get away with just paying a fine. He's already agreed to pay restitution and then paying an additional fine, perhaps.
I think that's probably likely. I think the importance of his case is sort of symbolic. It's not if does he spend time in jail. You know, he's not already made off, who built, you know, millions and hundreds of millions of dollars from people. But he did abuse his government trust, which is a serious offense. So I think it's unlikely the judge will give him anything other than probation. But, you know, it's still a symbol to other government officials, you can't do this.
Yeah, his career is over at GSA.
Right, right.